Your mission is to help 1 billion people be happy, basically. And I think that's the goal for everyone, man. So, David, thank you so much, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah, that last thing is the most important, right? Over 1 billion people to be happy. And what does that actually mean? Well, God bless me with 3 skills that I utilize to empower people like you, Terry, to make a lot of money for the sake of helping a lot of people and having a lot of fun. The truth is, I've never met anyone who makes a lot of money, helps a lot of people with it, and has fun that isn't happy. So God blessed me with those 3 capabilities. And it took me a little while to figure it out. But once I made it my mission to help and to be service of others, to live up to my name, which my mom purposefully gave me, David, meaning beloved, Meltzer, meaning servant, and to be a beloved servant to others, to create abundance in everyone's life, to have wisdom and faith, which are 2 things that I try my best to empower people with, the wisdom, the dummy tax that I paid, and the faith that I learned to get them to where they want to be or better.
Cool, man. I love it, David. One thing you touched on was faith, man. I'm sorry to go off subject here, but we're Christians as well, me and my wife and my son, 3 years old. But like, do you have a favorite verse by any chance, or maybe something that happened to you that was in faith that you got through?
You know, I am is my favorite verse. It's spoken about 230 times in all religious texts. I am the Lord your God. I am. What am I doing to interfere with it? Wow. See, when you encompass the commandments of our own religious texts, the commandments means to work with God. It means I am with God and God is with me at all times. And so for me, the whole idea of our human experience is to live within the context of I am happy, I am healthy, I am wealthy, I'm worthy. What am I doing to interfere with it? And the Bible teaches us, you know, what we are doing to interfere with our potential, with our higher self, with Jesus himself, and understanding that contextual expectation of the human experience to do our best, to learn lessons, and believe it or not, and it speaks of this in the Bible as well, to have fun. And so my favorite quote that I've derived from the Bible is, I'm either humble or I'm about to be.
I love it. I love it. David, you have 3 kids, right?
Four.
Oh, 4. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. 3 girls, 1 boy.
3 girls, 1 boy. How old are they now?
26, 24, 21 are my daughters. And same wife, son at 42. He's 15 years old now.
He's 15 years old. Awesome, man. Big family. Kudos to you. Can I ask you something, man? Look, you got 3 older daughters now of age, right? And son that's, you know, a teenager. What do you want to teach, I guess, your son? And what have you taught your daughters, taught them so they can instill and pass on to their kids, man? Because you're so successful in all areas, man.
Two things. I only care about if they do their best, learn lessons, and have fun. So I'm not the type of parent, if my son says, I don't want to go to college, hey, good. What do you want to do? As long as you're doing your best, learning lessons, and having fun, I got you. And then the other thing that I want them to know is that I love them, I'm proud of them, and I always have their back. And I think if we can empower our children with those 2 things, to do their best, learn lessons, and have fun, and they can walk knowing that I love them, I'm proud of them, and I have their back, they will live with gratitude, forgiveness, they'll be accountable, and live inspired. They will apply the why, not search for it. And that's where the wisdom and the faith of those 2 different lessons fall into the empowerment of your children. Remember, your children don't listen to you. I didn't listen to my mom her entire life, but I watched her. My children watch me. And I know by watching me, I'm planting seeds under trees that I may never sit under, but I know they're being planted.
Gotcha. No, I love that. How do you have time to make for your wife and your kids, man? Like, how do you do it? And you're so busy.
Great question. So I believe in, I'm a time freak. Time's my love language. So I believe in non-negotiable time. And believe it or not, the way that I do it is not, it's counterintuitive. It's not aligned with what most people think to spend time with your family. For me, no matter what the circumstances of every day is, I spend a minimum of 7 hours sleeping. No matter what the circumstances of the day, I spend a minimum of an hour on my health. No matter what the circumstances of the day, after that, I spend a minimum of an hour with my family. No matter where I am, Facebook, doesn't matter what phone calls, texts, whatever it is, I'm spending a minimum of an hour with my family every day. So many of us lie to ourselves and I'm not sleeping for my family. I'm not healthy for my family, right? That is not right. I put sleep first because that allows me to recover and access the information and awareness I need in order to make life easy, dissipate the diseasy. I spend a minimum of an hour on my health because if I'm healthy, I get as many at-bats, as many wishes, as many dreams, as many prayers as I want. If I'm not healthy, I'll only have one wish. And then I actually spend time every day, 7 days a week with my family, knowing that 2 minutes a day with a 24-year-old is worth 2 hours on a Saturday. It's metaphysics, quantum physics. Physics will also support evidentiary that truth of intention, of everyday intention. And one of the other things is I make exceptions. Sometimes I don't sleep enough, sometimes, but I never do it 2 days in a row. Never stack the L's, man. If I miss a day with the family, miss a day with the sleep, miss a day on my health, I'm doubling down the next day. I'm never doing it twice. One time is an exception, two times the beginning of a new habit, and that's a new habit that I don't want. And so I spend a minimum amount of time on my non-negotiables: health, sleep, family, then faith, then finance, and then I study time every day, and I study the relativity, the meaning of that time, for the sake of what am I utilizing my time in alignment with my divine direction. That makes the disciplined behavior that people mistake themselves with into devotional behavior. You know how many people I work with as a coach, a mentor, and a teacher that literally get so busy working, they forget to make money? That's the difference between discipline and devotion. When you're devotional, you pay attention and give intention to the coincidences that you desire. For the sake of what am I doing this? And you actually coincide that with your actions, words, thoughts, feelings, and beliefs.
Cool. No, I love that. I'm going to take that to the heart because I have a 3-year-old. So trying to learn from the best like you, man. David, you got a book coming out, man. Don't Do Business with Dicks. I love the title. coming out February 10th is the release date. But man, what made you want to write that book, man?
It wrote itself because when I went through my transformation, when my wife told me I better take stock in who I was and what I wanted to become, when I started to realize that I had surrounded myself with not only the wrong people, but the wrong ideas, the wrong energy, the wrong situations, the wrong locations. And when I started to take inventory of things, categorizing them in two ways. One, is this person aligned with my divine direction or is it interfering with it? Is this event that I'm going to aligned with my divine direction or is it interfering with it? Is this thought that I'm having aligned with my divine direction, this belief, this feeling, the words that I say, is it aligned with my divine direction or is it interfering with it? And so in my best way to simplify what is a very complex challenge for the humans today in their human experience, I created a very simple book to help identify the interference, the dis-ease, and the toxicity that we create in our own lives. And we now, instead of accelerating in the wrong direction, creating more disease, we now are protected, promoted, loved, and perfected, and we live at ease, walking through our own gods.
That's awesome. How long did it take you to write this amazing book coming out?
You know, it takes about 6 months for me to write a book because I actually write it. I don't use AI. So I capture all lessons and stories. I subcategorize them. I then teach them. I then transcribe my training about, which becomes a chapter. Then I edit the transcription into a chapter. Then I send it to Simon & Schuster, a publishing consultant, to clean it up. They may use AI after I write it. But I do that for 8 to 10 chapters. I read them all. I write the introduction. I read the whole book again and then write the conclusion. And that's the methodology. And I have a 6-month routine. So I write one book every 6 months. The next book I'm launching is called The 5 Daily Practices. It's more like a James Clear book about the habit machine.
Oh, wow. I love that one. Can't wait for that one too. Wow.
Thank you.
David, for this book, don't do business with dicks, right? Is there something in the book that stands out that people should be on the lookout for that draws you in?
Yeah, I think it clearly defines the reconciliation that people have difficulty with. There's a difference between the divine, the infinite, and the human experience. And I really point out how to utilize the human experience, breaking it down to 24-hour segments, man-made constructive time, God's guarantee that we all share, the common denominator of experience, that we're all guaranteed 24 hours a day. And except for the last day of our lives, we'll be cheated. But how are you using that 24 hours? Are you interfering with where you want to be or better? Are you creating dis-ease? And it also points out that things happen very slowly and all of a sudden. It points out that usually the evidence of today does not indicate where we're going to be in the long run. Our behaviors, that's what's going to show you where you're going to be. So most people quit or continue bad behaviors because they look at the evidence today and say, oh, there's no evidence I'm going to get sick. The evidence is contrary. I feel great. But they continue the behaviors that are going to cause dis-ease. Or the opposite. They're doing great behaviors and then they're not seeing the evidence that they're going to get to where they want to be in personal life, relationships, or business. Or the evidence is contrary. Think about my own life. I lost over $100 million and went bankrupt. My mom, the only reason I wanted to be rich was to buy my mom a house. I had to tell my mom she lost her house. If you would have told me that evidence that day would be the promotion, protection, love, and perfection that would save my marriage, save my life, and allow me to make more money than I've ever made, to help more people than I ever imagined, and have more fun than I could even experience, I would have told you, man, you're high. There's no way that this evidence is aligned with my divine direction, my potential. But 19 years later, after things happen very slowly, then all of a sudden, I will tell you and credit the fact that I lost everything and I learned some valuable lessons that promoted, protected, loved, and perfected David Meltzer.
That's so cool. David, I think you're like the most relatable person anyone can like just see themselves in and work through all their issues and things that gone wrong and just kind of turn it around. I think you're like the perfect example, man. So thank you for, you know, doing what you're doing every single day, man. So I appreciate that.
Appreciate you having me on and sharing my message. I do want to add one thing that, you know, the value of sharing your audience and your neighborhood with me. I want to offer everyone in your neighborhood my book. I will sign it, send it to them, pay for shipping, pay for the book. If they would please email me, david@dmeltzer.com. My first name's david@dmeltzer.com. Put it in the notes. If you forget it, just Google me, David Meltzer, but david@dmeltzer.com. I will send my book, sign it, pay for shipping in the book.
Oh, I will be doing that, hands down, after this call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Guys, on notes, I'll have the link for the book. Please follow David and learn everything you can from him. David, just one last question, man, before we go. You've been through so much, man. I think faith plays a role, your family. But what kept you going every single day when you want to give up? When you went bankrupt for 100 million?
Yeah, I use time to say, look, I know I want to quit, but I'm only going to spend minutes and moments in the idea of quitting, right? I can look up, I can get up, and I'm just going to do my best and take the smallest steps I can towards where I want to be or better. And eventually it will aggregate, accelerate, and compound into outcomes that I can't even imagine. And so the one thing I learned to do differently was ask for help. And I used to have a problem receiving. You know, I would always pick up the check. My family, nobody, I felt bad if anybody did anything for me. And then I realized that we're closest to God when we're able and capable of helping others. That's when we're closest to God. That's when we're at our higher self. And so when I started to realize that I was cheating people of being at their potential, of being at their higher self when I didn't receive what they were offering, or if I didn't ask them for their help, if I didn't ask them to be able and capable of helping me. And once I shifted that paradigm, this new perspective of the infinite loop of giving, where I give more, I'm given more, I receive more, and I ask for more than more for the sake of giving more than more, being given more than more, receiving more than more, and asking for more than more than more. You see, most people live in a zero-sum game, and they give more and receive less because they don't like to receive and they don't ask. Not me. I'm living in the world of more than enough, and I'm going to teach everyone around me to live in that abundant, unified system of thought of more than enough of everything for everyone. And it takes people like Terry Knight and this show to help amplify that message, that inspiration, apply your why, be more interested than interesting, and most importantly, be kind. Be kind to your future self and continue to do good deeds. God bless everybody.
God bless everyone. To the great David Metzler, guys, please, please get the book and reach out, get a signed one. Thank you, David, for coming on, man. I appreciate you so much, man.
Love you. Appreciate you. Thank you, everyone.